Today is the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, and the blessing of religious articles will take place after Mass today. In honor of Columbus Day, school will be canceled tomorrow, but it will resume the regular time on Tuesday, October 11th, and Mass on Columbus Day tomorrow will be at 8 a.m. in Melville. The Rosary will be recited this Saturday, October 15th, after the 8 a.m. Mass here at Oyster Bay. There will be a conference for the men of the parish here at Oyster Bay on Wednesday, October 19th. The conference will begin at 7:30 p.m., followed by refreshments. This year, the Christmas Craft Fair will again take place in Melville on Saturday, November 19th. And if you are able to assist selling raffle tickets in preparation for the craft fair, please contact the school office. The 40 Hours Devotion will take place on Friday, October 21st through Sunday, October 23rd. So please see the announcement in the bulletin for a more detailed schedule. And as you know, we will need at least two adorers at all times while the Blessed Sacrament is exposed for those 40 hours. And last year, a great number of people participated in this devotion, and I'm sure earned many of the graces we see at work in our parish and our country today. Perhaps many are not aware of the large number of converts that we have had to the faith just in the past year. So God's grace is at work in the hearts of many because Catholics are willing to make the sacrifice of their time and convenience to be before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, comforting and consoling His Sacred Heart. So this year we hope that you will again be very generous with your time during the 40 hours devotion. And if you are able, please sign up for more than just 1 hour of adoration. And two adorers per hour is the bare minimum. So we hope that many families will come together to spend time with our Lord. And we especially hope to see the young, our students, and the alumni coming before the Blessed Sacrament to ask the Sacred Heart for His help and His blessings. And I ask that you please remember to pray for the repose of the soul of Mrs. Mary Moseri. She passed away last Sunday, so please also remember to Mrs. Rosa Scardino, the mother of Mrs. Francine Lagrippo. Rosa passed away yesterday, so I ask that you please remember their families in your prayers as well, and join me now in praying for the repose of their souls.
The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord. May they rest in peace. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Finally, I would just like to welcome anyone who may be here for the first time or who have just recently begun to attend our chapel. Just want to remind you also that there are rules and requirements for the reception of Holy Communion here at this chapel, and they're printed in the back of the bulletin and posted in the vestibule of the chapel. The epistle for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always for you, for the grace of God that is given you in Christ Jesus, that in all things you are made rich in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that nothing is wanting to you in any grace, waiting for the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also will confirm you unto the end without crime in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 9. At that time, Jesus, entering into a boat, passed over the water and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him one sick of the palsy, lying in bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the man sick of the palsy, "Be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, "He blasphemeth." And Jesus, seeing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then said he to the man sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." And he arose and went into his house, and the multitude, seeing it, feared and glorified God that God gave such power to men. These are the words of the Holy Gospel. Then said he to the man sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." And he arose and went into his house. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the year 1952, there lived a young farm boy by the name of Bill Smoot. Bill was only 19 years old. He came from a country town called Glasgow, Kansas. And one day he started out on a little walk through the woods. He was by himself, and he brought with him his .22 caliber rifle. As he was walking, he came upon a clearing where there was a pond. He walked close to the pond to catch a glimpse of the fish. And as he did, he slipped on the muddy edge of the shore. He fell down hard into the mud, and a shot accidentally went off from his rifle. And when he had fallen, the rifle was somehow pointed toward him, and the bullet struck Bill in the stomach. After realizing what had happened, he looked at himself and found that he was bleeding profusely. As you can imagine, he was in shock at what he had just done to himself. It was about a mile and a half from his farmhouse, but he quickly found out he was unable to walk. The pain was too intense. He realized, though, that if he didn't do anything, he would most certainly bleed to death. But he was determined to find help. So what he did was, he crawled on his hands and knees in great pain. He pulled himself through the mud. He pulled himself through the bushes and the leaves, through the whole mile and a half of woods and pasture. And after 3 long hours, he finally reached the farmhouse, where someone found him still crawling. By that time, he was almost unconscious from the loss of blood. They rushed Bill to a nearby hospital, and the doctors examined him. They found that his spleen, his liver, and his stomach had all been struck by the bullet. They had to perform surgery immediately. The doctors were forced to remove his spleen, but finally they managed to stop the bleeding. After the surgery, the doctors weren't sure if Bill would recover, but to their surprise, and to the surprise of his family, he made a complete and healthy recovery. The reason why he survived was because he had the determination to find help. Now, my dear friends, in today's Gospel, St. Matthew relates the incident about a man sick with palsy who was brought before our Lord. And this same story is recorded by St. Mark and St. Luke. St. Matthew tells us that our Lord, entering a boat, passed over the water and came into his own city. The water was the Lake of Gennesareth, located in the north of Palestine. Our Lord's own city was Capernaum, which is situated on the west side of that lake. All of the people had heard of Jesus because of his miracles. And so the multitudes crowded around our Lord just to catch a glimpse of him and to listen to his words. So while he was at Capernaum, he entered into a certain house, and the crowds flocked to him like sheep flock to a shepherd. They crowded into the house, so much so that there was no room. St. Mark makes mention of this in his Gospel. He says that many people came together so that there was no room. No, not even at the door, he says. And so as our Lord was preaching to this great multitude, a man sick with the palsy was brought before him. Four men carried the paralytic in his bed or cot. And St. Luke tells us, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the roof and let him down through the tiles with his bed in the midst before Jesus. By their actions, we can clearly see their determination to seek a cure from Jesus. And then St. Matthew relates what our Lord did next. He says, "And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the man sick of the palsy, 'Be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee.'" Now, in the midst of this immense crowd were some of the scribes and Pharisees. They heard the words of Christ, and in their hearts they accused our Savior of blasphemy, because they knew that only God has the right and power to remit sin. But Jesus, seeing their thoughts, said to them, "Why do you think evil in your hearts?" And so, in order to reveal their pride, our Savior posed to them a question. He asked them if it would be easier to say to this afflicted man, "Thy sins are forgiven thee," or to say to him, "Arise and walk." But of course, there was no answer. And so our Savior used this opportunity to reveal to them that he is truly God, and in consequence, his power to forgive sin. So looking into the faces of those Pharisees, he declared to them his divinity in no uncertain terms. Our Lord said, "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." And turning to the man sick of the palsy, he said, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." And without a moment's hesitation, the paralyzed man, who had been lowered into that room by the help of others, walked out of that room by his own strength. He entered lying on his bed, but afterwards he went out carrying that bed in his own hands. And the multitude, seeing this, St. Matthew says, feared and glorified God, who had given such power to men. And my dear friends, the man in today's Gospel was afflicted with a terrible disease. He was sick with the palsy, it says. In other words, he was paralyzed. He couldn't use the muscles of his body. And that is why he needed help from others to approach our Lord. But the paralytic was determined to approach our divine Savior, and so were those who carried him. The poor man went to the divine physician, who healed not only the disease of his body, but also the disease afflicting his soul. And even though it was very difficult for this diseased man, he still found a way to approach our Savior. In the midst of that whole crowd, he was carried through the roof of the house. They found a way. My dear friends, in the paralyzed man, we may see an example of a soul steeped in mortal sin. When men's souls are corrupted with mortal sin, they become paralyzed, so to speak. Their wills are weakened. It becomes very, very difficult for them to resist temptations. And in consequence, they cannot perform the least meritorious act for themselves. They are helpless, just as the paralytic man. When you think of all the terrible diseases that may afflict the body, none of these can compare to the destruction and harm that mortal sin can do to the soul. It is more hideous than any physical disease we can imagine, because it's the rotting and corruption not of the material body. It is the rotting and corruption of something spiritual. When a soul falls into the habitual state of mortal sin, it is the decaying of the immortal soul, the most precious gift God has given us. And so a remedy is most necessary. And the longer we wait, the greater this disease grows. Thus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, has instituted for us the sacrament of penance. In the confessional is where he applies this divine remedy. And so the only way we can approach that divine physician and receive that remedy is through the door of that confessional. The priest in the confessional represents the gentle and loving Savior whose sacred heart calls out for all to come to him. He calls out to you. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened with sin, and I will refresh you." You know, there are many doctors today and much technology to cure the human body, but there are still many diseases in the world that are incurable. But the priest in the confessional, through the power of Christ, he can cure any and all diseases of the soul. St. Alphonsus de Liguori says, "By confession, the soul keeps itself purified, and by it, it not only obtains remission of sins, but also greater strength to resist temptations." Let us not fear the confessional, my dear friends. We must not let human respect get the better of us. The paralytic man sought compassion from the heart of Christ, and because he had that unbounded confidence and determination, he found that compassion. We will find it too if we imitate his determination to approach our Lord. We who have committed sin are similar to that young farm boy, Bill Smoot, who inflicted a serious wound upon himself. Every sin we commit, we wound ourselves. By just one mortal sin, we inflict a fatal wound in our souls. And if we have the misfortune of falling into mortal sin, let us then imitate Bill's determination to find help. He did not give up. He did not just lie there and think it too hard to search for help. He was not too embarrassed either of his foolish mistake to find someone to aid him in his life-threatening situation. For 3 long hours, he crawled on his hands and knees, seeking help. We too must humble ourselves and fall on our knees before the priest in the confessional who represents our loving and gentle Savior. humbly confess your sins, have a firm purpose of amendment, never to offend God again, and beg our Savior to cure your affliction. Go to the gentle heart of Christ in the sacrament of penance, even when it seems hard or difficult. For if we have a firm determination to seek a remedy from our Savior in the confessional, then He will surely heal us, just as He healed the paralytic man in today's gospel. And if you do have some difficulty about confessing your sins, or there is something you're not quite sure how to tell the priest, then do not be fearful. Do not worry. Say a prayer to the Holy Ghost and simply tell the priest that you're having a difficulty, and he will help you. Because the priest is not there to condemn you, but rather he is there to show you the love and compassion that flows from the merciful heart of Christ. Truly realize then the serious harm that mortal sin inflicts upon your souls and the terrible consequences when left uncured. And so in realizing this, quickly seek out a remedy. Stop at nothing in your pursuit for the divine physician. And so we pray with St. Alphonsus de Liguori, My Jesus, give me grace to be faithful to Thee until death, and to have recourse to Thee when I am tempted. Most Holy Mary, help me. Thou art the mother of perseverance. I place my hope in Thee. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.